So the Greeks had this concept of seizing an opportunity. And the way that they would describe it is like this. They would tell this myth of this god named Kairos. Now, Kairos had long hair in the front, but a huge bald spot in the back. I'm gonna show you a picture so that you can see what I'm talking about. So this is Kairos in all of his glory. You can see the long hair on the front and the bald spot in the back. Incidentally, this might be how some of you look after 2 to 3 months of sheltering at home. So maybe you can relate. But the reason they would talk about opportunity like Kairos is this. They would say Kairos is like someone who, if he was moving towards you, you could grab him by the hair while he was moving towards you. But the moment he moved past you, you would have nothing to grab onto. There'd be nothing to hold. And so to the Greeks, this perfectly illustrated to them this idea of seizing an opportunity. That an opportunity is something that while it's coming your way, you can grab a hold of it. But the moment that it's passed, it's too late. And intuitively, we all understand this because we all know the pain of missing a moment. Whether it's showing up to the airport too late, or whether it's getting to a meeting or a party too late, whether it's not saying something to someone or not introducing ourselves to someone and then we never get that chance again, or maybe it's not saying something that we knew we should have said to someone, and then it's too late, and we'll never be able to say that to that person again. Or sometimes it's making, that opportunity to make a good first impression, whether it's at a job interview or a new group of people. So we all know the pain of missing a moment. What's interesting is this is actually the exact concept that the Apostle Paul uses to help the Ephesians understand what it means to walk in wisdom. See, last week we learned what it means to walk in love in light of our kingdom calling and in light of our personal calling. This week we're going to learn what it means to walk in wisdom. And so I want to share with you what Paul told the Ephesian church about walking in wisdom. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, he says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." So Paul is trying to get these Greek people to understand a concept by introducing something that was very familiar to them. See, when he says making the most of the time, the word he uses for time is kairos. So to the Ephesians who heard this letter being read aloud, they would have immediately understood the word picture that he was trying to paint for them. Because see, they had two different words for time. There's chronos and kairos. Chronos is where we get the word chronological. And so it's like just the marching on of time, second after second, minute after minute. It's that type of time. But kairos time, it's that moment that comes in the midst of the chronos time. It's just this moment that's sort of suspended above the rest of time where you get to grab a hold of an opportunity. You know, kind of like we might say things like it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so the Greeks who were hearing this would have immediately understood what Paul was trying to get at. And it's actually genius what Paul is doing here, because he is taking a Hebrew philosophy, a Hebrew understanding, and mixing it with this Greek philosophy. Because see, to the Greeks, this idea of wisdom, it was more of a philosophy or a concept. But to someone who grew up with a Hebrew worldview like Paul did, wisdom was actually part of their worship to God. Because see, to someone who grew up with a Jewish worldview or a worldview that was shaped by the Hebrew scriptures, to them, wisdom began in a very specific place with a very specific posture. And so to help us understand that, we're going to jump back to the book of Proverbs. quite arguably the most famous book of wisdom that's ever been written. And in this book, there's a moment where it tells us where wisdom begins. And so in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it tells us this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Where does wisdom begin? With the fear of the Lord. Now, we don't often talk about the fear of the Lord. Like we don't, it's a concept that makes us kind of uncomfortable. Like we know it's in the Bible, but we don't really like to talk about it, especially because we're usually presented with a view of God that isn't filled with fear. And so what is happening here in the scriptures? Like, why is this even talked about at all? And I think to help us understand this, I want us to go to a moment that takes place in the life of a guy named Jacob. And it's recorded in the book of Genesis. But let me tell you the story. Jacob is, he falls asleep in the desert, and then he has this dream. And in this dream, he sees this staircase that's coming down from heaven on earth, and he sees angels going up and down the staircase. And then God presents himself to Jacob in the dream, and he says, I'm the Lord. And he pronounces blessing over Jacob and says, I'll never leave you. I'm going to fulfill my promise to you for many generations to come. And then Jacob wakes up. Now, when I wake up from a weird dream, I go, wow, that was weird. But Jacob, he had a really different response, and I want us to see what he said. So in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, it tells us this. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And then he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And so Jacob wakes up and he is afraid. And he says, how awesome is this place? And he doesn't mean like, wow, this place is really rad, dude. Like he means this place has filled me with awe and fear and wonder. And so what's going on here? Like, why is Jacob so afraid? I don't think Jacob is afraid because God is scary. No, I think Jacob is afraid because he was actually a pretty messed up person. See, Jacob was a deceiver. He spent his entire life deceiving and lying and cheating and stealing from others. And then there's this moment where he's not prepared for it, and yet he realizes that he had been in the presence of God Almighty, and it fills him with fear. It actually makes me think of these moments in my own house where I'll walk into a room and one of my sons will be in that room and they'll kind of do one of these. They just jump. And it's like this telltale sign that they are doing something they shouldn't be doing. And I go, hey buddy, what are you doing over there? They're not scared because I'm scary. They're scared because they're doing something wrong. Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, when was the first moment that we see Adam and Eve afraid of God? When do we see them hide from God? Well, it's after they sinned. See, God comes walking along in the garden, and they tell him, well, we hid because we were afraid. And, you know, because we were naked. And so there's this moment where because they had sinned, it changed their relationship with God. Had God changed? No. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was Adam and Eve who had changed. It was people who had changed. And what had changed them? Sin. So because Adam and Eve sinned, all of the sudden, they were afraid of God. Because he is holy, and he is good, and he's righteous, and he's true, and he never changes. And so this fear that rises up, well, it's in relation to our own sin. And so this is why Paul told the Ephesian church that he said he wants them to walk in wisdom, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. See, for us to fully understand what wisdom is, unfortunately, we have to understand evil. Because if we don't understand evil, we're not really going to gain a full appreciation of what it means to walk in wisdom. And see, it was really important that Paul would bring this to the Ephesians, these Greek thinkers, because to them, evil wasn't really that big of a concept. To them, those who resided in the heavens were pretty uninterested in human affairs. And when they did get involved in human affairs, it was of mythic proportions. So to them, evil and good really was the sum of a person's choices in life. Whether they experienced good or whether they experienced evil had everything to do with the choices they made on a daily basis. But Paul needed them to understand something, that from the garden all the way until Jesus' kingdom is fully established on this earth, that we have an enemy who is actively working against us. See, if wisdom is living in light of who God is, if wisdom is understanding how awesome and holy He is and making our decisions based on that, well, then evil will do anything and everything that it can to distract us from that truth and to cause us to live differently. And so Paul needed the Ephesian church to understand this truth, that evil is at work in their lives. So he says, the days are evil. Do you ever feel like the days are evil? I sure do. In my short lifetime, I have seen a lot of evil on this earth. I grew up in a neighborhood where I saw a lot of drug and alcohol abuse and violence. But I remember the day of 9/11, watching on screens as these two towers fell in New York City and just going, this is absolutely evil. And then since then, I mean, there's been so many things, these wars that break out or famine or disaster or moments where I've gone on mission trips and I've been introduced to conditions that people live in. And I go, this is just, it's not right. But over these last 2 to 3 weeks in our country, we have watched evil play out on our screens over and over again. We've seen people subjugated. We've seen violence breaking out. And it's hard when we live in times like this where we can look around and go, it feels like the days are evil. So what do we do when it feels like evil is closing in around us? What do we do when it truly feels like the days are evil? Well, Paul tells the Ephesian church, you need to walk in wisdom, that this is part of your kingdom calling, is recognizing who God is and living in light of that and walking in wisdom because the days are evil. So it's having this general understanding and this reality of what life is. Now, if we're a Christ follower, we don't have to live in fear of God because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Like he has abolished our sin. He's atoned for it. And so we don't have to live in that same terrifying fear of who God is. It's the difference of going, God is the king, to the king is my dad. But we recognize how powerful and magnificent he is. If anything, it should cause us to appreciate even more his holiness and his goodness and his righteousness, that he would allow himself to die so that we could live. It should cause us to, as the scriptures tell us, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because of how good God is. And it causes us to live with this awareness of who God is, this awareness of him at work in our lives. See, there's another thing that Jacob said when he woke up from that dream, and I don't want us to miss it because it's so important. So I'm going to read that verse again. And let's see what Jacob says when he wakes up from the dream. So Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He says, I wasn't even aware that God was here. I mean, how often do we go through our lives and God is present and he's active and he's at work and we're not even aware that it's happening? Like, how often do we do that? And I think it probably happens more often than we even realize. See, this is why Paul had to marry this idea of this concept of the kairos opportunity that Greeks understood, and this idea of living in the wisdom that begins in the fear of the Lord, like understanding who God really is and making our decisions in light of that, that if you marry those things together, that's truly the definition of walking in wisdom. And so Paul needed the Greeks to understand this, because he's like, you know, this idea that you have of this like once in a lifetime opportunity, these kairos moments that come your way. Well, what if I told you that those moments are actually happening all around you? Like to the Greeks, the kairos moment was a moment bursting with opportunity and possibility. And Paul is saying, what if I told you that those kind of moments are happening around you all the time, every day, that the holy and the divine is bursting forth in your life all over the place, and you're just not aware of it? You know, just this past week, I mean, I could tell you thousands of stories of me waking up to this reality of these kairos moments of God breaking through into my life all over the place. But just this week, I had a moment where I was taking my trash out, out to the curb. And I felt this sense that I should just linger in my front yard for a couple minutes. And so I did. I went and, you know, messed with some of my landscaping a little bit. But I was just kind of waiting. I'm like, why am I out here? And then two of my neighbors came walking around the corner. And, the woman who lives in this house and the woman who lives in this house. And they had gone for a walk together and they came strolling back down the street. And I just was like, hey, how are you both doing? And one of those neighbors, she's pretty shy. So she just kind of waved and she ducked into her house pretty quick. But the other neighbor was like, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, and honestly, because of the whole COVID season that we've all been walking through, my neighbors and I, we haven't really chatted very much. And, you know, we've said hi to each other, but like we went into a real good conversation. And then her husband came out and he joined the conversation. And so we're all just kind of catching up a little bit. And then I noticed that one of my neighbors is on his roof. He was fixing a couple of shingles. And I've really wanted to connect with this neighbor. I don't know him very well yet. Like, I don't have his email. I don't have his phone number. But he's a person of color. And I've really wanted to see how he and his family are doing in the midst of everything that's been happening in our country. And so I saw him and, you know, I didn't like look at him up on the roof and say, hey, neighbor, in the midst of all this racial tension happening in our country, how are you doing? I didn't do that, but I did just say, hey, how are you? And, you know, he said, hey, we're making it through. We're doing what we can. He just kind of had a couple of platitudes. And, you know, he asked me how I was doing. I said, oh, we're making it through, too. And but I said, hey, I'd love to, you know, catch up with you sometime. And he said, sure. You know, we just kind of joked around a little bit. And the other neighbors did, too. And a couple other neighbors walked by. And then, you know, so I thought, well, maybe that was supposed to be this kairos moment. And I think that was part of it, because now I can follow up with my neighbor. But then me and this other neighbor, we started having this full-on conversation about God and faith and church and spirituality. And it was an incredible kairos moment. Like, it felt like the kingdom was breaking through. See, I could have just gone back in my house, been like, that's weird. I'm not just going to stand in my front yard for 2 minutes. Or I could have said hi to those two neighbors and then said, you know what, I did the thing. Like, it seemed like I was supposed to be out here. I said hi. But instead, what happened was something was telling me, or someone was telling me, that I need to just linger for a couple of minutes. And because I did, because I tried to pay attention and be aware of what was happening in the moment, I was able to step into a kairos opportunity. Now, I think these moments happen all around us. I mean, how often are we going through our daily life And God is bringing kairos moments right in front of us, and we're just not even paying attention. See, if we want to walk in wisdom, we have to pay attention to the moments that we're living in. See, part of our kingdom calling is understanding that God's kingdom is breaking through. It's understanding who God is and making decisions in light of how holy and awesome He is. It's understanding that there's evil at work that's trying to undermine us. But on a personal level, it's being present to every moment that we're in. See, to be present, it's actually really difficult these days. Like, it means that we can't constantly be glued to a screen, feasting on the lives of other people. It means we have to be present in the life that we're actually living. And it means we can't have our mind always 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 years into the future. Like, I'm a future-thinking person, and so sometimes I catch myself so caught up in future ideas that I forget to live in the moment that I'm actually in. Or some of us, we have our minds fixed in the past. Like, we're so caught up and so hung up on mistakes or things that have happened to us that we forget to live in the moment that we're actually in. But if we want to walk in wisdom, we have to be present to this moment right here, this one that's happening right now. And then we have to do that again in the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. So to truly walk in wisdom, to seize these kairos opportunities, I mean, you can only seize an opportunity if you recognize that it's happening. And so we actually have to live with this awareness of the reality that God is breaking through with His kingdom every moment of every day, that He's present in our lives every moment of every day, that He's at work and He's active every moment of every day. It's a little bit like buying a new car. All of a sudden, you start seeing that same car everywhere. And it's like, well, what, did everybody else just buy one of these too? No. It's just that before, you weren't aware of them. And now, because you've become aware of this vehicle, you see it everywhere. And so when we become aware of what God is doing, when we can move into moments and just really practically ask, God, what are you up to in this moment? I promise if you start entering moments with that mindset, literally sometimes asking out loud, God, what are you doing in this moment? I promise you, you will begin to recognize and be aware of God's activity all over the place in your life. But we also have to be aware of evil that's trying to undermine what God is doing. Just like from the Garden of Eden and throughout the pages of Scripture, there are so many moments where evil is at work against us. And we're going to talk about that in future weeks as we move into the Stand series of our Sit, Walk, Stand mega series that we're doing. But we have to be aware of the fact that evil is at work because it's one of the things that helps us to walk in wisdom. And so when we live in light of who God is, when we understand who He is, when we understand that He is active and He is present in every single moment of every single day, if we would just become aware of it, if we would just wake up to this reality, and if we would understand that we have to seize these opportunities when God makes us aware of them, because the days are evil, because evil is doing anything and everything that it can to undermine us, that it, you know, like the enemy doesn't want us to walk in wisdom, because when we do, it means we walk with an awareness of who God is and what He's doing. And that's the last thing the enemy wants us to have is a regular pattern in our lives. And so we have to take on this posture of walking in wisdom as Paul says it. So I want to read that passage in Ephesians one more time. And here's what Paul said. He said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." So may you become aware of the fact that God is present in every moment of every day. May you wake up to the reality that God's holiness and his goodness is breaking through into your life all the time, even if you're not aware of it. May you become aware of the evil that is working to undermine you. And may you, in moments when things feel too dark, or when the evil feels too real or too present, may you remember that God is greater. May you remember that his kingdom is breaking through the darkness, that his light is breaking through the darkness, and may it fill you with hope as you continue to walk in wisdom. And as you do, may you see the moments that come up. May you live and be present in the moment that you are presently, currently in. And may you walk in the holiness and the wisdom that God calls each and every one of us to. And may you find life change in the midst of all of it. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that each of us would learn what it looks like to walk in the wisdom that you've called us to, both on a kingdom calling level, but in a personal, everyday way. Lord, may we be present to what you're doing all around us. May we not miss the moments. Lord, may evil not win the day, that we would not be led into temptation, but instead that we would see ourselves delivered from that temptation. And Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Lord, that we would focus on you for what we need in every daily moment, that we would forgive others, Lord, that we wouldn't give evil a foothold. Lord, as we need that same forgiveness. And Lord, we don't want to give into the ways of the evil one, but we need to be delivered from that temptation. And we recognize that you are powerful, that you are above all of creation. And yet we thank you that in your love, that you involve yourself in the daily moments of our lives. And so in all of this, God, may it cause us to walk in wisdom in light of who you are. We thank you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.